Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Now, very impressed with Rothenberg. Had a terrific night's sleep. Rick, did you also sleep well last night?
I did sleep well.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I'm not going to tell you what time I went to sleep.
No, I would never ask that, but I imagine it was probably early if you slept so well.
You never know. Could have been one of those power five-hour jobs occasionally that I get into.
Could be, I guess.
Well, I don't think you would have said you slept well if you only got 5 hours of sleep.
That's right.
Well, this could be, I mean, you never know. This could be the 5 hours where I didn't have to wake up to pee. You know what I mean? Like, this could be straight 5 hours.
That's right.
You never know.
That's right.
I don't believe you have such a thing, so.
I think the later guess you go with Chris today, the better.
Yeah.
I think the way he makes it sound, he went to bed at like 10:30, 10:40.
Well, you know what, Dave? It really doesn't matter because I get to let you go first instead of trying to bat lead off for you so you can try to highball me on whatever time that Rick went to bed.
It's very frustrating. The fact that you had to stay up and watch that whole Greeny special the other night really put a crimp in my plans this week in that battle of what time did you go to sleep. All right.
It's only one, though. It's only one. Stop. It's 1-1. It's only one.
I know,
one.
But if it was 2-0, it would be a commanding lead. Now it's 1-1. I don't feel nearly as comfortable. You know?
You'll battle back. Great. You'll battle back. I'll give some subtle hints throughout
subtle
3 hours.
Subtle clues throughout the show.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. So how are you?
How am I? I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm doing fantastic, Dave.
Good.
I'm doing good. It was a nice day yesterday. Going to be a nice day today. I'm doing fine.
A beauty. A beautiful day. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Dave. I would be better if I didn't have to take a drop on the 18th hole. My dad and I were neck and neck on the back nine of our round of golf yesterday afternoon, and I hit a ball over there by a lagoon, and there happened to be an alligator laying in the lagoon, so I just thought better of trying to hit that golf ball, and I just decided to take a drop. I didn't want to go out like the lady that was trying to defend her dog from the alligator on Hilton Head Island about a year ago, so I just decided to take a drop, and the extra stroke ended up costing me on the 18th hole, and my dad ended up winning the back nine yesterday. So I'm a little frustrated, but it's still a bad day of golf beats a lot of other things, so yeah. I'll take it.
And it saved you all your limbs by doing that, so I think it was the right move by
soft.
You.
That's soft.
Yeah, I didn't want to be like Chubbs from Happy Gilmore.
You're soft. You got soft. You can
soft.
Say
what do you mean
it.
I got soft? It's an alligator. Soft. Listen, discretion is the better part of valor. I'm not going to fight with an alligator over a $2 golf ball.
And for all people to take this tack, you're scared of everything. You're scared of dolphins. You're scared of dogs. You're scared of chipmunks. You're going to say he's soft for being scared of an alligator?
Soft. Yeah, he got soft. He's a civilian now. I get it. Please. I mean, Super Bowl champ. He's soft. I mean, listen, there's nothing scarier than losing. Losing is the worst. That's on the top of the list. It goes losing, dolphins, now chipmunks.
No, it goes losing a limb,
dogs.
Then losing in golf, then dolphins.
Now you can hit the ball quick. Stop. Get in there, hit the ball quick. You still got the golf club. Alligator attacks. Boom, you hit him with the golf club.
Excuse me, what? An alligator attacks and I'm going to bat with a golf club?
Yeah.
And you feel comfortable with that?
Alligator.
No, I don't feel comfortable. I didn't say it wasn't me. I mean, this is you. I'm not putting myself in that.
Exactly. If this is you,
I'm staying away from the lagoon.
You're trying to set me up for failure. What kind of teammate are you?
I'm not putting myself in the lagoon. I'm making the smart play. I'm staying away from the lagoon.
When we come back from quarantine, I'm going to walk into the studio looking like Captain Hook. What are we talking about?
And he'll never play golf again.
Exactly.
We're not going back to the studio.
He's thinking about his long game.
We're not going back to the studio. Stop.
I'm stupid. You're smart.
It's not going to happen.
He could be right.
That actually may be good. That may be where I go with CMT today now. I had a sports-related
not,
CMT.
Not golf.
No, not golf, but in honor of Chubbs Peterson and Happy
Don't
Gilmore.
Worry
Maybe
about
we
that.
Do something like that.
Made of wood.
Real sturdy.
You might go where? You might go like a movie CMT?
Well, I could do some Adam Sandler
characters?
Stuff.
I could do characters. Oh.
I could do sports movies. I could do a lot of different things.
Well, CMT just did sports movies on Friday.
Yeah, but did he do sports comedies? He just did sports movies.
There were comedies involved.
Yeah, I mean, that's just lazy by him. I mean, that's low-hanging fruit. That's lazy.
No,
that's like
he did a beautiful job.
Like, I say low-hanging fruit. This is like spending, 45 minutes in a hot tub. That kind of low-hanging fruit.
I can't let you bash Santiago, man. He had less than an hour to put the thing together. And
he
I thought he did a great job.
He did really, really. I'm not going to let you do that. I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna move on to Randy Levine. Let's get into Major League Baseball. Let's get into how excited we are at the lack of any progress here with baseball. 800-919-3776. It's the same song and dance day after day after day. Randy Levine, president of your New York Yankees, was on the K Show yesterday. Had some interesting things to say. Let's take a listen. We'll react to it, and we'll just realize that another day goes by with no deal. He's encouraging both sides. And how about this? We're June 17th. We're almost 3 months into their original deal at the end of March, and now Randy Levine encourages both sides to find a way to meet and negotiate in person.
We have to stop disrespecting each other and communicating with each other. And I just, for the life of me now, you know, I asked the commissioner this today. I said, are you ready to get in the room and negotiate?
Why haven't they done that, Randy?
Well, get in the room and negotiate. Deputy Commissioner Dan Halem, I mean, there's nobody with a better disposition in the world than him. You know, Tony's a good guy. I don't know Bruce Meyer. But these are issues that are in the agreement that if baseball didn't negotiate with the players, they'd be subject to liability. Just like if the players didn't negotiate them with the owners, they'd be subject to liability. So at the end of the day, I'm urging everybody here, everybody, put your masks on, social distance, go out to Phoenix. I'm sure Tony Clark has a nice backyard. Or come here, anywhere. I'll make Yankee Stadium available. Get in the room, negotiate these protocols, and get going.
It's unbelievable to me, Chris, that we are 3 months in, and there's a plea from Randy Levine on June 17th, as we're approaching this not even being able to happen anymore. You guys really ought to figure out a way to have a meeting in person.
It's a bad look for baseball. I don't know how much meeting in person would change things or change the dynamics of the negotiations. It felt like from the outset that the owners wanted to be opportunists in the middle of a pandemic, but clearly Tony Clark shifted the discussion that was taking place in the court of public opinion by saying what he said over the weekend, just tell us when and where and the players will be there. And you saw the social media campaign from players around Major League Baseball yesterday, just tell us when and where, let the kids play. Like, I think now that puts a lot of pressure on the owners because everybody understands from that late March agreement that Rob Manfred has the power to unilaterally impose a schedule and actually have a date on the calendar for return to play. So I just think that Randy Levine doing that spot on the K Show was Randy Levine doing the work of the owners, was at their behest in trying to spin this into a conversation that shifts the pressure back on the union to get into a room to continue negotiations with the Major League Baseball owners. And I don't think the players have any interest in doing that now.
No, at this point, it doesn't make any sense. And I mean, the leverage they have now is taking Major League Baseball to court, filing a grievance. And it's not even necessarily that they win the grievance in, what is it, somewhere around $1 billion that they would win. It's what you're going to have to, I mean, what you're going to have to give up. Major League Baseball owners would have to give up as far as discovery and everything else is concerned. Like all the things that would go into this grievance. As far as opening up your books, how much money you're making and everything else, that's not what Major League Baseball wants to do. It's the last thing that they would want to do. So what Randy Levine is saying all sounds good if you're actually talking about, you know, a negotiation. But the entire time, this hasn't felt like a legitimate negotiation. This is trying to get to a point where we can stall, realizing that the players aren't going to accept anything but fully prorated salaries until we get to a number of days that works for us and a number of games that works for us. Because, I mean, if you read the initial agreement on March 26th, that is where the ambiguity kind of lies.
That's right.
It's the fully prorated. Like, if there's no fans in seats, the owner can make the decision. The owners can make the decision to have players get fully prorated, but they get to decide how many games that's going to be. And it's a bad look if a month ago they say, we're still only playing 60 games. And the fans and players go, what do you mean? That we can play way more than
sure
more than
you
60
can play games. 90 of the time for it, absolutely,
but they can't afford that, or they don't want to lose that amount of money.
Such a terrible
yeah, but here's
look.
The thing that bothered me about yesterday, Rick, to insinuate that the difference in what they feel like the players should get paid is not why the two sides are feuding. I take exception to that. Like, I think everybody is smarter than that. Everybody recognizes that the biggest hurdle for the players and the owners in terms of coming to some kind of agreement is the money. So I don't know why Randy Levine would suggest that it wasn't. To try to pin this on health and safety, I think the time has passed to try to make that the primary issue that's being negotiated, because the reality is it's not.
Well, he's a smart guy.
If it was about health and safety, they would have been to come to an agreement, and we'd be talking about when we're going to see baseball.
No, but it's not. The entire time, it hasn't been about health and safety. It's all been, I mean, it's always been about the money.
Of course it's about money.
So don't you have to question the validity of everything that the guy is saying, if that's what he's leading with? If that's
what's coming
out?
No, but understand, but it's again, he's a smart guy, and it was how he chose to use his words. So in saying what he said is, the owners realize now that the players aren't going to accept anything but fully prorated. So they know that. That's how much money it's going to cost. Now they have to come up with a decision on how many games they're going to play. So they know financially, we can make this so it's not an argument. You'll get fully prorated for this amount of games. That's kind of what he was insinuating, is that they'll get fully prorated, but it's not going to be the number of games that they want. It's going to be the number of games that, you know, the owners feel comfortable
with. But we've known that for weeks now, that's the way it's going
to
be.
But that's why he said it. That won't be the holdup. That doesn't have to be the holdup, because the owners are now willing to accept it'll be fully prorated, but for the number of games that they want to play. So once you come to that, like I said the entire time, they've always had that in their back pocket. As long as it's fully prorated, the players will come back. Now it's a question of how do we make them feel comfortable coming back with all the safety, you know, safety protocols and everything else? Because it's not going to be easy. If you don't have the players cooperating, they can make it as difficult as humanly possible on the owners to try to get this thing back up and running if they want to be. I mean, look at the NBA protocols.
Was it 124 pages?
Nah, I mean, it's not a pamphlet. That's a book.
No.
I mean, that's a book. You can't play doubles ping pong and everything. I mean, we'll get into all that stuff, but.
But to me, if I was Tony Clark, if I was representing the players, then I would be trying to play chess and not checkers. I would tell the players, let's put forth a good faith effort to play 50, 60 games, whatever it is that the owners come back with, and we'll get our win once we go in front of an arbitrator or once we go into a courtroom. To me, that would be the way that I approach it. I wouldn't want my players to do anything to undermine whatever season that Rob Manfred and the owners impose on them. You can't win that battle. So, I mean, Dave made the suggestion yesterday that the players could potentially dog it. And I'm just saying, if I was Tony Clark, I would tell them, let's not do that. Let's protect the integrity of our game. When you go out there, you put forth your very best effort. Now, I know that the health and safety part of it is a huge part for the players, but I don't feel like that's what the players looked at as the biggest hurdle to overcome throughout the last couple of months of negotiating. That's clearly not why the players have been taking to social media and voicing their opinions. That the health and safety part of it hasn't been at the forefront. It's been more about the money and the owners trying to negotiate something less than their pro rata salaries.
Here's my question for you guys, and I'll start with you, Rick. Do you think the fans even care at this point? Or do you think they're just worn down to the point of like, you know what, then just don't play. Then just go away and don't come back until next year or the year after, whatever it's going to be, and that there's just kind of baseball fatigue here with the way this has gone on?
Yeah, I don't think it's baseball fatigue. I think it's negotiating.
All right, negotiation, you know, fatigue, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, through the media. I mean, I think they're sick of that. It's kind of like waking me up when baseball starts. I think that's why it's smart with, you know, what Tony Clark and the players have started to do is just tell us when and where, and we're ready to play. Put it back on the owners. And Chris, I will disagree with you a little bit. I don't think you say play chess and checkers. I don't think the owners allow Tony Clark to play chess. They're not going to have a season. There's enough owners that would be happy not having a season where they're not going to allow a season to happen if the threat is that there's going to be a grievance after this thing is over.
So you're saying that the players would have to waive their right to file a grievance?
Yes.
I was Tony Clark, I would never do that. I would never do that. So we might not have a season. And that might be why Rob Manfred said what he said on Monday night in that special to Greeny.
Right.
That's probably what it is. I mean, if they're going to impose a 50, 60 game schedule, if I was Tony Clark and I still reserve the right to file a grievance, then that's exactly what I would do. But there's no way that I would surrender that right if we're talking about something that's less than 70 games with my guys going back to work with their full prorated salaries. There's no way I would even consider that.
And now you have to look at the season now. So the article is the LA Times from Fauci yesterday. He said he doesn't know there's going to be baseball in fall, into October. So what happens if you don't get the postseason benefit of this?
Yeah, but see,
Major League Baseball.
That point you just made is, I think that's today, listening to all the radio shows and watching on television, everyone was burying that lead. Not just baseball. I mean, you're talking about Dr. Fauci saying, you know, with influenza and who knows if there's a second wave. Forget what that does to baseball. What does that do to college football, the NFL? I mean, if you don't want this team playing into October with their playoffs, I mean, what is that? You're talking about, I mean, what does the NFL do now if there's a second wave?
I don't know. If you're going to have a second wave and he's concerned about baseball, how in the world can we have football in October, November?
Dave, I don't know. And I was sitting there thinking about that last night when I heard Dr. Fauci say what he said about playing sports deep into the fall. Like, I was thinking about it. If you're talking about multiple players on the two Texas franchises testing positive for COVID-19 now, I'm just thinking about when we have, you know, training camps ramp up, when guys get back in the facility, God forbid one of these players has it, it's going to run rampant throughout a locker room, throughout an organization. I mean, it could get to the point where you wouldn't be able to field a team and play a game. So if they think that there's going to be a second wave late this fall and into the winter, I don't know how you play football. You can't socially distance on a football field. So I don't know how they end up getting that done. I'm skeptical about them having a chance to have a full season as we would know it in the NFL, Dave. I really am. Now, the NFL and the subcommittee for the league's office and the NFLPA are supposed to meet tomorrow to discuss the protocols that are going to be put in place. But, I mean, even with protocols, Dave, I mean, again, you can't have a protocol in place that can guarantee that nobody test positive for the virus. I mean, it's inevitable that some NFL personnel are going to get infected with COVID-19, and I just don't know if you can isolate that individual quick enough to keep it from spreading to everybody else.
Look what we've seen already. We've seen University of Houston. We've seen Alabama. We've seen the Cowboys. I mean, and they're not even together yet. And we've already seen, you know, mini outbreaks among these different teams. So once the teams start to get together and practice and hit and shower, listen, I'm an optimist, but it's hard to envision
shower.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
You guys know what a locker room is like. It's a petri dish in there.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, but you're kind of going out of your way. I mean, just naturally, you're socially distancing yourself from each other in the shower. Like, you're not, I mean, that's not what you have, your closest conversation.
No, but you still pass by a guy and
yeah, but
you know, you're all there hanging out.
Yeah, you're all hanging out, but you're not trying to be, I mean, you're trying to stay at least 6 feet away from each other in the shower.
You know what? I had a great line of points and you had to get fixated on the one that maybe wasn't.
Well, you're the one that throws in the shower.
Well, I was trying to add. I was getting to a crescendo. Right? Practice,
could you,
hit.
Could you pass me, could you pass me the loofah? No, but that's going to be the next conversation. I mean, the next conversation is if this is, and again, I don't understand, and maybe I'm crazy. And we kind of joke that the positive of, you know, like Ezekiel Elliott already having COVID is that, you know, have the antibodies. I would almost want to bring the guys back earlier than usual just to see how it goes, as opposed to bringing them back later and then have it run through the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, give yourself as much time as possible, as if you do have an outbreak with your team, you can get the guys healthy, as opposed to you bring them back, it goes through the team. Now you have, you know, a handful of guys that have to isolate for the next miss 14 days when it really counts. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's what the NFL was talking about, but they weren't talking about it from that aspect of it. They were talking about it as to getting players acclimated, doing football movements so that we could gradually ramp this thing up and we could have a return to play where we didn't have a rash of injuries. But, I mean, I think that would serve the same purpose for what you're talking about with the coronavirus. Like, have a chance to be able to go through the logistics of what it would take in order to conduct your day-to-day business and see if you can find ways to keep guys as safe as possible. But a lot of this is going to depend on the cooperation of the players and guys deciding to be professionals about it and do the right thing when they're away from the facility. That's a big part of it as well.
Yeah, but I think that's going to be the conversation coming up soon here is what, you know, with how the NFL laid out their schedule, is it just in their best interest to try to push it back and give yourself a little bit more time? I mean, as a football fan, honestly, do you want to try to cram in as many games as you can in September and then all of a sudden, you know, halfway through October, a second wave hits and you got to shut it down and then restart it?
But then what do? You push back.
But if you push it back, what are you going to do then?
And you don't know. I mean,
well, no, you don't know. But
if we get a second wave in September, October.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that they built in a bunch of different ways to push back the season if they have to, right? Mm-hmm. Where they can take the first 4 weeks, put it at the end, push back the Super Bowl and everything else. Why not give yourself the opportunity to see if there is a second wave as opposed to put yourself right in the middle of a second wave? Like if you start in September, on September 10th you start, mm-hmm. you get 2 weeks into the season or even 3 weeks into the season.
And then there's an outbreak.
And then now you got to stop it. And now, you know, players have to go their separate ways. Everyone's quarantined and everything else. And now you got to bring them all back and then try to restart it as
sure.
opposed to pushing it back into October, giving yourself, okay, now it's starting to get cooler out. Are we actually seeing a second wave? Does Dr. Fauci still feel like there's going to be a second wave that's worse? I just feel like time is your greatest asset at this point because we still don't have enough. We don't have enough answers yet.
But how long can you go? Like, when can you play the Super Bowl? Like, how late can you start the NFL season, I guess, would be my question.
I think a month later you could probably do it.
Super Bowl first week of March?
That's in Tampa. I mean, you can play it. I mean, you can push it back.
You probably push it back more than that if you want
it. As late as you want. I mean, give yourself the opportunity to have fans and seats and everything else. I just don't, if that's true, if you're worried about Major League Baseball of all sports, where you can actually, there's no contact. You can socially mm-hmm. distance to a certain degree in baseball. If he's that concerned about a second wave in influenza and everything else, with baseball
they are.
Going
he
into the fall,
is.
Okay, then, you got to be scared to death about the NFL and college football then.
I would think so.
I'm telling you, that's going to be the next conversation, I promise you.
Have you seen what's happening? You see what's happening in Arizona?
Well, yeah, the more testing you do, the realization that there's a lot of people walking around that are, asymptomatic, that just decide, you know what, I'm going to go get a test just to make sure, and they test and they pop positive, and they had no idea they had it.
Yeah, but what happens if there's five of those guys on an NFL team?
But that's why I think you bring them back sooner rather than later. Go through all the different safety protocols and see what happens, as opposed to now bringing them to training camp when you actually this is an important time because this is training camp. Like we're right around, preseason and everything else is right around the corner, and then have it happen. Bring everyone together now. See how, now we know, this guy just tested positive. We'll do the, we'll see.
Right. He goes away for 2 weeks and.
Well, no, yeah. we'll trace, who he's been around and then we'll test those. To actually have an idea of how this is going to work when you get into a situation where, time is of the essence. Give yourself that leeway because football, you have no idea.
We have no idea.
You can't use baseball. You can't use what happens and is going on with the KBO and everything else because football, you're going to be traveling
The truth is we have no idea at all. We really don't. We have no idea. We don't know if we're going to get a spike now. We don't know if we're going to get a spike in the fall. We don't know how long, if we get the spike in the fall, it's going to last for. We don't have any of these answers.
No, and I think as far as underlying health risks are concerned, that could lead to a really severe case of COVID-19 or God forbid somebody passing away, it would be football. It's going to be football.
That's scary to think about that.
Football scares the hell out of me.
That's really scary.
Of all the things, you look at people who are at the most risk. You're talking about humongous individuals.
Yeah.
That are, face to face. Just think of, the biggest players on the field are offensive and defensive linemen. You're between spit and everything else, you're face to face. Every single play.
Every play. And then you're touching them and you're getting a sweat on your hands.
You can wear gloves. Yeah, you're right. You can wear gloves, but the biggest thing you have to worry about is the stuff coming out of your mouth. You can't control
we've
that.
We've seen those slow-mo NFL films videos, right? Where they have the music going in the background, Chris. And you see
Dave, there's a term called knocking the snot out of guys.
Right.
They say that for a reason because that actually does happen.
Absolutely.
So you talk about body fluids being, knocked on the guys and all of that stuff like that. That stuff actually happens. You're going to be sweating on guys. You're going to be bleeding on guys. You're going to have stuff coming out of your mouth, out of your nose. That's just the nature of the game, the intensity that it's played with. You can't avoid those things happening, which is why, I just think it's going to be tough for the NFL to be able to pull this off. Now, I hope that we have football in the fall.
Of course.
But I will tell you this, if we're not able to have a successful return to play with basketball, baseball, and hockey, you can forget about football. If those other sports don't work because you can't effectively manage the COVID-19 situation, then football, it's not going to happen. It's not going to, it's we're going to have to stop there. We're going to have to shut down the season before it even starts.
Well, here's a quote from Dr. Fauci. He says, MLB can avoid playing into October. Quote, if you stick to the core summer months, you'll be much better off. Well, that's the exact opposite of what we're going to have with the NFL.
It is, Dave. So that's why I don't know if pushing the season back necessarily works. I mean, you push it back to what, November? Early November? Who's to say that the virus, the second wave, right, wouldn't still be around? We just don't know. Now, I like the fact that they're doing their due diligence and they're meeting tomorrow and they're going to discuss all the particulars and try to plan as well as they can. And the NFL has had the benefit of time in comparison to the other major three-team sports. But, I mean, there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to pull this off. I mean, they're talking about guys returning to facilities in the middle of July, but there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to keep everybody safe. So I don't know. I'm skeptical. I want to be optimistic, but I just can't be. And especially when you start hearing now about guys that have been working out on their own, testing positive for the coronavirus. I mean, when you get all of these guys in one locker room, you're talking about 90 guys per team. That's a lot of guys, and by the nature of the sport, I just feel like the odds are against you in terms of being able to curb the potential for your guys to be infected with the virus.
I think scariest, just all in health concerns. Yeah, I mean, even bringing it, I mean, you're not going to be in a bubble. You're not going to be tested, you know, every single day. I mean, it's going to be as close to, you know, normal as whatever normal is going to be. And then on top of it, you're still living with your family. That would be another huge concern for me. I know no one wants to be away from their family, but the last thing I would want to do is have it run through my house.
So if you played for a local NFL team, would you stay in a hotel?
Either that or I would ask to be tested every single day. Yeah, I mean, that would be a conversation, especially in my situation with young kids.
Rick, they're talking about only testing guys three times a week.
Yeah, see, I don't love that. I would probably make the decision. I would probably make the decision to keep myself away from my family as much as possible.
So you would either stay with someone in an apartment or you would stay at a hotel?
Yeah, that would be my decision.
Yeah, I think, I wonder. And again, we talk about the second wave and what's going to happen in the fall. Today on ESPN Daily, the world's most popular sports league, the English Premier League, returns to action today. Hear what to expect in the mad dash to finish the season. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Let's go to a quick, this should be a fun call. Ramon and Valley Stream with it's a pitch. Here we go. Ramon, you're on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning. Hope everyone is doing well. Rick, I want to give you a break on the CMT. I'll give you a chance to participate. I got a CMT. I've been working on it for about a week, and it's called it's a 3-2-1 CMT. Guys, ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Let's go.
Okay, all right. The first one involves cars. The McLaren, you know, it costs about $1 million. You got the SUV that you guys were talking about that Brady was that he auctioned off not too long ago.
And the Rolls Royce SUV?
Right, the one that Brady, remember he auctioned it off or sold it, whatever, $300,000.
He's an NFC South insider.
No, but that was a done up. That was the done up. I think that was a done up Escalade, wasn't it?
An Escalade. You're right.
That was a done up Escalade. Yeah.
And the third choice would be the original Batmobile from the Adam West Batman, not the ones that came up with before.
I'm trashing the Batmobile.
Trashing the Batmobile.
What am I going to do with the Batmobile? Just look at it? It's a piece of furniture. I'll marry the McLaren, and then I'm going to cuddle up with the Escalade.
Wow. All right, Ramon. Well, there you have it. Thank you for the call and for chiming in. I'm telling you, people love CMT.
The McLaren is Batmobile adjacent. Like, it's not that far off.
I could never trash the Batmobile.
I would never do that either. I would probably trash the Escalade.
That Escalade is nice, dude. That thing is...
Escalade. I mean, if we're talking about the Rolls-Royce truck, that's different. It's an Escalade.
Well, but this is different, though. I mean, me and you are driving around. Like, if I'm definitely marrying the Rolls-Royce SUV because I'm driving that thing around, Tom Brady's Escalade isn't, you get driven around in that Escalade.
Talking about that one where it's like a limo in the back.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's different. Does it come with the driver, though?
And we could arrange that. Yeah, I mean, that could be part of the CMT with the driver.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. See, now it's different. I'd rather be driven than drive.
How do you enjoy being a participant in CMT?
Well, I feel like I'm still participating. I mean, I host the segment, but I feel like
an actual player. Like you're not running.
I like it.
Like you get to sit back and answer questions.
Yeah, I'm more definitive than you two with the CMT. Like you guys kind of hoe and hum. No, I'm just boom, boom, boom.
No, we're thoughtful. Right, we don't hoe and hum. We're thoughtful.
Well, at least we know how he feels about how we do in CMT days.
So you don't like the way we play?
No, I appreciate it, actually, because that way I don't have to come up with as many different
Chris, let's
ones.
Whip through them today.
No, don't do that.
Give us the three,
don't do that.
Like, boom, 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 done, next. Let's go.
No, you're not going to be able to. This category is going to be too tough to do that. You're going to have to make some real tough decisions.
Rick, I feel like you're coming at us like Dave came at you for the golf CMT last week.
Exactly right.
That was really
yeah, this is passive aggressive. This is me. Yeah, this is me.
Well, don't make me collateral damage, though. I enjoyed it.
I apologize.
Stop.
I
know
you just took
don't
a shot at
him. Why would you do that?
I mean, you essentially just pulled the pin and tossed the grenade over in Dave's direction. It just happened to hit me.
Well, listen, like the observation story I told, I just so happen to have, you know, some live grenades hanging on the trees in front of my house as decoration.
Okay. By the way, update later on, 12:30 today, update on a observation story from yesterday.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, I saw that. I did see that. Well done.
That's right.
This is why I love the listeners. This is why I love sometimes you hate Twitter, but then this is why you love Twitter is because people can be in touch and give you stories like that.
How about that? The unprecedented two-hour tease. 12:30, you'll get an update to a story from yesterday during observations.
I respect that.
Are
right?
We
two-hour tease. Stay with us till 12:30 because
kicker in observations today.
Yeah, the Giants are trying to. Put together their own version of the longest yard. Is what they're trying to do.
It is unbelievable. The story is actually horrible.
Well, it's all about Dave. It's all about culture. Creating that culture.
Go away. At least we have a trainer. 800-919-37.
If anyone needs one, it's your kicker.
7-6. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. It's so easy. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go, or in this case, where you do not go. 800-919-37-76. Let's get to a couple calls, and then, of course, we'll get to Andy from Merrick at about 10:53 this morning with his questions, a segment that is apparently very, very popular that everyone wants to get involved. Let's go to Matt in Queens. Matt, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. It's a real thrill to get to speak with you on the radio. You know, I just want to say, whenever I hear about, the stuff that athletes get, and I'm not talking about the amount of money, but I think workers should have the same kind of things that athletes get. I'll give you an example. Workers' compensation. An athlete gets injured, okay? He gets immediate medical care. There's no gatekeeper to deny him the care. They get their full pay. If a worker rips up his knee on the job, he might have to wait months to get a surgery, months to get his benefits. Another example. Many workers can never become free agents because they have to sign non-compete clauses. So in other words, let's say somebody is highly skilled in computers. He may not be able to go to work for another company ever because in order to get his first job, he's got to sign a non-compete clause.
Well, Matt, a couple of things. First of all, athletes have great advantages, and I think both the guys would tell you that. And you don't sign a non-compete clause that you can never go to another company. It's not like you're locked into IBM for the next 50 years.
No, once your contract runs up, there's no non-compete.
Then you're free to pick up and move about the cabin.
And the reason why athletes get surgeries immediately is because these teams have relationships with, orthopedic surgeons, dentists, and everything else. A lot of the time, to be the team doctor or team dentist, they'll pay the teams to have that on their resume, that we are the official team dentist of the New York Islanders or whatever it is.
Well, it's great advertising.
I mean, that's what some of the teams do. I mean, that's what the Islanders did, is that we had our own team dentist that would pay, whatever amount of money to be the team dentist. And then the second you lost a tooth, I mean, the dentist is at the game. If he can't fix it in the arena, then you go to his office. He takes care of it. It's not real life. You can't. This is, again, don't try to compare what your real life is to what a professional athlete's real life is. It's
you can't
completely
do
different.
It. You can't do it.
It's impossible. It's not a fair comparison.
No, of course not. It never
but
was.
But then the other thing
be.
That you always talk about, Rick, man, the athlete is also the product. So the worker is the product. How many times, how many jobs will you have the actual employee being the product that you are selling and making billions of dollars off of? Very, very few jobs. So it's unlike anything that we have in the workforce in this country. It's a completely different animal. That's why you can't compare it.
No, the closest comparison I can make is Hollywood, right?
Yeah,
is actors and actresses.
Yeah, that's it.
Where you have a tremendous advantage, and it's a job that you get to do, and a lot of people would want to do it, but it's a skill.
It's supply and demand.
And it's the best, and it's, you're talking about the best athletes in the world, right?
Yeah.
These are the very best people in the world at what they do. The very best.
Now, is it fair that an athlete can have something happen and sees the doctor in an hour and a half, and a teacher can have something happen and has to wait a month? No. It's not fair. But that's how it is.
Yeah, but the substitute, I mean, that's how it is. But again, to Chris's point, in your employee is also your product. And you're paying that, you know, that employee, you know, millions and millions of dollars. So you want that employee, you know, on the court, on the ice, on the field as soon and as
possible. Yeah, the reason why you have surgery immediately is so you can be back on the field.
Yeah, they're not trying to do you a solid. They're
no,
trying to get you back on the
all.
Field or the ice as soon as possible.
I remember I had that staph infection back in 2014 in Baltimore, man. I had surgery, and 4 weeks later to the day, I was back suiting up in the lineup. Like, that's
that
what
is
it
unbelievable.
Is.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, or if you have a concussion, they tell you, just don't say a concussion. Say it's a headache. That way
yeah,
you got
your bell wrong. You got your bell wrong. That's all it is.
Let's go to John in Prospect Park. John, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hope everyone's family's healthy over there. So just a quick question. I was thinking this is more focused towards the NFL, obviously, like you were saying earlier. Once they're on the field and, you know, the spit's flying and everything. You know, I always see a lot of NFL players, obviously, with their helmets on and the visors. Why, you know, with all the mandatory things that are going to be coming out, and this doesn't just have to be for the NFL players, you know, in life now we have to wear masks when we enter, you know, stores and all that. Why don't they make it mandatory that there's a certain face visor, a mask, that these players have to wear to help further prevent?
Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried to play football with a face shield on?
not football, but I have been running a lot recently with a face mask, with an athletic face mask that's breathable. And
yeah, but time
okay,
off.
But the face shield
here's
is not breathable, though. That's the difference. The face shield is not breathable. Take it from me as somebody that had to wear one his entire career because of an eye injury that I had in college. It's not breathable. And to actually have the face shield cover the entirety of the mask, you wouldn't be able to breathe under that thing.
Or C.
I mean,
you
or
C. Hyperventilate.
No, but time out. Time out for a second. I'll let you finish your point. Your comparison is not a good comparison. So go running with your face mask on and then wear a pair of glasses and let that thing get fogged up because your hot breath is going from, you know, your mask into your glasses. And see how long you want to run with your sunglasses fogging up the entire time as you hyperventilate. No, it's not going to, no.
That's a good point with the fogging up. But I mean, there has to be, I don't know if there is a certain visor where it's anti-fog. There are glasses, I believe, that, you know.
You can wear a visor. I wore a visor my entire career with a tinted eye. It was tinted. So I wore that my entire career. What I'm trying to tell you is the bottom part where I have the bars on the face mask, that wasn't covered by the visor. And that's how I actually got I used to breathe out of my mouth when I was playing, not my nose. Because the part of the face mask where my nose was covered by the tinted eye shield that I wore. But if you put a shield on the entire face mask, what I am telling you is players would not be able to breathe out there while they're playing. They wouldn't be able to do their job at the highest level.
Gotcha.
So from a practical standpoint, it would be next to impossible to do that.
Okay, yeah, I mean, because that was going to just be my point. I mean, this is something where it's temporary for this year. I mean, everyone's lives are altered this year. That, you know, there's something that it may be not a visor, but something to help further protect the players.
Well, if anything, and I understand where you're coming from. I mean, if anything that they wanted to do, and you actually see players doing it, is having those big mouthpieces. You know, the mouthpiece that covers your lips.
Yeah, the lip guard. You're talking about a mouthpiece with a lip guard.
Yeah, like if you wanted to have everyone wear one of those, I mean, I think that would be doable. It would take some getting used to, but that would be doable. But, I mean, first of all, anyone that's played football, the worst part about football, outside of the hitting and getting hurt, is wearing that helmet. That helmet is the worst. Especially on a hot day, how heavy that thing is. Oh, God.
You ain't got to tell me.
I don't know how you guys do it, man.
What you doing, too.
Worst.
You're hitting another guy who's 300 pounds. You got a helmet on. It's hot. I mean, there's a lot of hurdles you're jumping. Now you want to cover the mouth area?
But even if you cover the mouth area, Dave, guys are still going to get hit. Guys are going to have nicks and cuts. Guys are going to bleed and sweat on each other. So that's only part of the equation. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Like, of course.
Like it's not just, okay, what's coming out of a guy's mouth or what's coming out of a guy's nose. I mean, this game is played with a high level of intensity. There's going to be blood on the field. You see blood on guys' uniforms in every single game. You see sweat in different colors from other opposing teams' jerseys on guys' helmets and jerseys. So this is one of those things where guys are in close proximity to each other and there's going to be a lot of contact and you're not going to be able to prevent guys from, having bodily fluids from other players on their body.
No.
You can't prevent that. So my thing is the NFL has to prevent guys that are actually infected from being able to participate in sport. I think that's the only way that they can keep guys safe. And my biggest concern is the fact that you're only going to test guys 3 times a week. I just think that opens the door for somebody to have been infected with the virus and potentially infecting the rest of the team or infecting somebody on the other team.
Yeah, you'd almost want to have a way where – I mean, under the current, CBA with, how many padded practices and everything else, how much stuff you can do, socially distanced as far as, meetings and everything else. But there almost has to be a way where the designated days where you're actually going to have contact practices, every single player needs to be tested the previous night. So by the time they show up at the facility for that day of contact, that everyone's negative.
Every practice is contact. Except for the walkthroughs that you do before the game, even if you don't have pads on, it's contact.
Well, no, I'm saying, but you're right. But if you're trying to keep everyone as healthy as humanly possible, maybe you'll have to adjust that. Like how many days you choose to have contact practices.
So you're not saying how many days you have practices, period?
You might have to change the practice schedule a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's something that could be open for discussion. You already got the limited practice time as it is in training camp and in the regular season to limit that even further. I mean, that's probably I guess having some product is better than no product at all. But I mean, you're talking about the quality of football.
Well, Chris,
really
what about
taking
this?
A step back.
Chris, what about this? What if you do instead of having, and the schedule is weird, I understand that, but instead of having one day off, what if you have 2 days off? So players get to be with their families for those 2 days. And then for the rest of the week, they bring the players, tested the players, and then put them in a hotel for the rest of the week. Kind of like, their own little bubble.
That absolutely could be done. 100% unequivocally could be done. I mean, listen, if you have a big win on Sunday, coaches will say, see you Wednesday. And you got Monday and Tuesday off anyway. So that's something that they already do. So could that be possible? Absolutely. You can do it.
Couldn't you do more testing, though?
I think they should do more testing, Dave. I don't think there should be a day that the players go into the facility without being tested.
Right. Rather than jump through hoops to figure out a way you can only hit in pads for 2 or 3 days a week, couldn't you just test every day and then go about your daily business?
Well, I think to Rick's point, I think that would be a way to implement it. If you're talking about guys only having to be at the facility or at NFL stadiums, 5 out of the 7 days every single week, well, you limited opportunities for guys to infect other guys on your team, number one. But number two, you could actually isolate guys, have them stay in a hotel throughout the course of the week. You can test the guys in their hotel rooms in the mornings prior to them going to the actual facilities. To me, that makes a whole lot of sense to try to create a bubble-like atmosphere every single day at the team's practice facility. That would be the way that I would try to go about it. Now, I don't know how feasible that is because we don't know the availability of testing that the NFL has. We don't know how many tests they're going to be able to have to give out to all of these teams. So that would be another question that has to be answered. But I'm uncomfortable with the fact that they're only planning on testing 3 days, 3 times a week.
Yeah, I don't blame
the bubble.
The
bubble campus, whatever you want to call it. Don't call it the bubble. It's the campus. I mean, that's that's really only, and that's not 100%, but that's the safest way to keep any of these athletes as safe
as Rick, that's what we've been doing the first 2 months of the coronavirus, right? Isn't that what the quarantining and staying at home was all about?
Exactly right.
So why wouldn't that same logic apply when you're trying to have a return to play for all of these major sports, but especially with a collision sport like football?
I think you would have to. I think that's, yeah. I mean, that's really the only way. Otherwise, you're going to have half your team wiped out.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you control it with how close. And you could
say that. It's going to be difficult. Football is the big concern.
Yeah, but it's not only that. I mean, you see it throughout the entire country, man. It goes state to state. It's person to person. You know, I have, you know, Cassie was talking to a friend of hers yesterday, and, you know, she's in a fight with one of her siblings because they want my wife's friend to come visit, but they haven't really been socially distancing. So she's like, why would I go? I mean, I've been doing all the right things. I'm going to go now hang out, and you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing? Like, I don't feel comfortable with that.
No, you got to be very selective with the people that you're going to start to socially distance.
But you can't. The point is, in the end, in these locker rooms, you can't.
Right. You can't.
So you'll have one person that's from wherever that thinks this is just the flu. It's no big deal. And
listen, if you have 50 people who are doing the right thing, but five who are not, you're in trouble.
Exactly right.
With the way this thing spreads.
And the only way you can trust it is if you can control it. And that's by having people isolated.
Yeah. And daily testing.
Yeah, tested that night. You'll have the results in the morning. And if you pop negative, you can show up. Or if you pop positive, then you got to isolate.
Yep.
But, and there lies the other problem, though. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, an 82-game schedule or 162 games. This is, you know, 16 games.
Right.
17
so
games.
So Patrick Mahomes tests positive. Now he missed the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, now he's out. Yeah, exactly right. That's 14 days.
Right. At a minimum. That's if he's feeling fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. Let's bring him in. The one and only, the original, Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. I have a somewhat of a curveball, but a real fine test of your trivia knowledge today.
Ooh,
it's on play-by-play sports broadcasters.
Ooh.
Okay.
We're going to start in the Bronx with my man, CeCe. You ready?
I'm ready, I think.
Michael Kay.
See ya!
Heard weekdays from 3 to 7 on these very airways. Has been the Yankee announcer for 28 years. There are three men who have broadcasted longer as a Yankee announcer. Can you name them?
Wow. that have broadcast longer...
Then Michael Kay.
How many is Kay at, Andy?
Kay's number 4 with 28 years. We have a 31, a 30, and a 40 years.
Okay, I think I know the one of 40 years. And that would be one John Sterling. Is that correct?
Sterling's 31 years, that's correct.
Oh, so Sterling's it can be radio years. Or okay. Television is what you're saying here.
Yes, broadcaster.
Uh-huh. Broadcaster.
Right. It's got to be Susan then, too.
Susan Waldman?
No, Susan's not there. That is baseball, John, but no.
Are any of these people in the Hall of Fame?
Broadcaster-wise, yes.
But not baseball-playing-wise?
I'm not sure if one of these gentlemen was a terrific player. I'm not sure if he's in Cooperstown as a player.
I was thinking Phil Rizzuto.
Phil Rizzuto?
Phil Rizzuto, 40 years.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. I had a brain fart there.
Yeah, you don't remember? He got in. He gave the great speech.
Oh, the speech record. That's correct.
Yeah.
All right, you're missing one.
Did he ever host This Week in Baseball?
As a matter of fact, he did.
You need help, Chris?
Yeah, I need help on that one, Dave.
First name, Mel.
Mel Allen.
Mel Allen.
There you go.
How about that?
Great Mel Allen. And if you've never seen This Week in Baseball, YouTube it. It was must-see TV back in the 70s and the 80s.
That's a really hard question that you gave me, Andy.
You
wanted me to fail.
You're not.
You wanted me to fail.
No, never. You're a
I don't think you did.
Champion.
You got him right.
He just treated you. He just treated you like Pedro Serrano. So I'm going to give you the curveball. Hit it.
Rick, we're going to put you on the ice.
Okay, here we go.
Mike Emmerich. Yep. Has worked the Stanley Cup Finals continuously since 2005. Can you name the man who worked the finals from 2000 to 2004?
The NHL Finals from 2000 to 2004?
Yes, sir.
Let me think. 2000 to 2004. I played around that time, but never even sniffed.
He's currently vanquished to Baltimore Orioles games at this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was a Mets announcer.
Gary Thorne.
There you go.
Yes. How come his is just one part and Chris had multiple parts to his question?
Dave, yours is going to be the ultimate screwball here. This is a tough one.
This is going to be brutal, isn't it?
Well, it's tough. What play-by-play man has called the most Super Bowls?
Why would you say it's a screwball?
Well, it's a tough one. There are three candidates here that can all apply.
Play-by-play
broadcaster.
Now, is this television or could this be radio as well?
No, television, play-by-play.
I'm thinking, so you're just looking for one answer, right?
One answer. Man's got 11 Rick. Super Bowls.
I'm talking to Rick here. Don't get in the way. I'm thinking Summerall or I'm thinking Dick Enberg or Al Michaels. Those would be my three.
Those are the top three. Got to come up with one.
I like where your head's at. I like where your head's at.
What do you think?
What is your initial?
Michael's done 11. How many did you say is 11?
11 as the lead broadcaster.
Has he done? I think it's Michaels, but now I'm torn. I don't know. He's in my head.
Michaels is in your head?
No, Andy is.
Yeah, this is because what he does to you. I mean, he starts going, well, this is a screwball, this is the ultimate screwball, and everything else.
I don't feel like it's Al Michaels.
You don't think so?
No.
Then it's got to be Summerall.
Final answer?
I don't know.
Nice touchdown from Gerbach. There you go, Ray. Pat Summerall, 11 play-by-play.
Nice, David.
There you go, Dave.
And kudos to Ray Santiago. Phenomenal production. Guys, as always, stay healthy.
Thank you, Andy. The best. How about Andy coming on? He's teasing the K show. He's giving Santiago props. He gives us trivia. I mean, it's really well done by him.
I take exception to the trivia that he gave me in comparison.
Yours was
to the trivia
was
you
multi-parted,
guys.
Which I thought was a little bit unfair.
Yeah.
Well, he came for blood.
Name one of the three would have been cool. He asked me to name three.
He came for blood. I mean, he was out to prove a point again. This is what he does.
Exactly.
At least once a week he does this.
But it felt like you were directly in his line of sight, Chris.
That's my problem. It was targeted, Dave. That's the part that I take exception to.
I don't blame you. I mean, mine was difficult, but just one answer.
Yes.
Rick's difficult, but just one answer. Yours had many different answers.
That's my point.
Yeah. But we got
I
him all
understand
right.
it, though. Yeah, but he went weakest link because, again, I mean, Chris tells the story about, you know, decided to take a drop because of a little alligator. He could smell the fear. Andy knew.
By the way, Chris, let me step in here. There's no such thing as a little alligator.
Right, exactly. Okay. What is he talking about?
Little alligator, that phrase does not exist.
Yeah, but can't he's 6'8".
You're scared of the dolphin.
Yeah, because I'm in the water with the dolphin. I'm on land now. I mean, I'm not saying
with
go
the
hit
alligator.
The ball. Yeah, but I'm not saying go hit the ball in the lagoon. Like, don't go swimming with the alligator. But if I got a golf club and I'm trying to win a match on 18.
The ball was by the lagoon. The alligator was right there.
I blame your dad. This is where your dad's got to be a team player. He's got to come stand by you, let you hit your shot, and in case the alligator attacks, then he can
What's he going to do? My dad is 70 years old. What is he going to do to the alligator?
Hit it with the golf club.
No, my dad is going to push me down and run. He doesn't have to be faster than the alligator. He's just got to be faster than me.
No parent would push and run. He would put his leg into the jaws of the alligator just so you could escape.
Damn alligator!
Nah,
I
don't think my old man is willing to sacrifice that much, Dave.
He would
be upset at me that I would actually try to play the golf ball knowing that there was an alligator there. Again, discretion is the better part of that.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.